Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom or Robots, and I'm here with our patrons this week because we are wrapping up the month of May discussing the what we think is going to happen with the Fallout TV show and all the hints, that, or at least the little bits of hints that we've gotten, that things are going to be moving towards New Vegas. And with the TV show happening years after the events of New Vegas, where they might go with season two, I'm going to pose some questions and we're going to discuss exactly what we think is going to be addressed, which things they might avoid, how they're going to deal with, who knows, canonizing an ending or not. There's some speculation around that stuff already, but I want to hear what our patrons have to say. And we have our patrons joining us this week. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back, Lil Green. We've got Pumpkin. We've got Defcon, son of T-Minus and AK Spartan. And we had somebody else here. Nova was here as well, but I think maybe dropped off the call. We'll be joining us back in a second. Welcome, everybody. How's everybody doing? Don't answer that all at the same time. I mean, I guess you could, but we don't have to this time. I'm so excited to have you guys on here because I think this is a really cool topic. At the end of the first season of the Fallout TV show, actually at the end of every single episode, we have kind of a glimpse that hinted at where the next episode was going with this like graphic montage of like zooming in or out of a scene with different stuff going on. And in the final episode, we clearly see New Vegas. There are things that happen in the final episode that show that things are progressing in that direction. But then in the animated scene, we have what appears to be a, I don't know, slightly more rundown version of New Vegas. A lot of dead bodies, a dead Deathclaw in the city, it appears. There's some stuff going on there. So the first thing I want to pose to you is, does that mean that they've already canonized an ending? And if so, which one? Like, I know that according to Todd Howard, they're trying their best to just kind of tell new stories without canonizing too much about the ending of the other shows, but I'm not sure that's 100% possible. What do you guys think? Who would like to chime in on this? Pumpkin?
So with an ending to the show like that, I can honestly see the house ending being the canon ending.
Okay.
Because of the fact that the Vault Tech, he was connected to Vault Tech in some way or another.
Right, which is clearly laid out in the show so far. Right, yeah. Yeah.
So I could easily see him going to the New Vegas to talk, to get help. I'm trying to, amnesty, whatever.
To reconnect with an old contact or somebody he would have known from the previous world.
Yeah.
Who's still around, who might still have a lot of power. But what does that mean for the rest of the story? I mean, if you have House maintaining power in New Vegas and you have on top of that, his ability to defend the city and all of that, then how does it turn out that you have a bunch of dead bodies and a Deathclaw in the middle of the city? Like, does that mean that he failed in defending the city in some way?
It could have also just been the thought the dad doesn't know yet. When he goes there is when he finds out that in fact, Mr. House is not around anymore and something happened.
Oh, so what you're saying is the house ending still works for the game, but then in the time period between the two, something else happens.
Or it could be a different ending happened and then the news just never got to him that Mr. House is dead.
Right. Okay. So he was going there thinking that House might still be alive.
Yeah. So it could be either or. But okay. I would like to think that it would be the House ending.
Yeah. I would have a hard time seeing. I mean, obviously, you can write anything. You can come up with some reason why his defenses failed. The robots got hacked or some other event happened in the preceding time period. But I would have a hard time if he wins, quote unquote, wins in the end of New Vegas. I have a hard time imagining what else would have turned things against him in those years so that the city would have been at least breached by a Deathclaw, because at least we know that much happened. Do you think that that's possible? And let's open this up to anybody who, like, this is kind of the, we're not going to go person to person this time. We're going to go topic by topic. So if you have thoughts on any of this, then feel free to chime in.
DefCon? So, I would imagine it's going to go, they'll probably alter something in some way as far as the endings go. So if you go, if they want to utilize the Howard Hughes Mr. House, then they can't do any other ending except for the house ending, because Yes Man, you kill him, and NTR, you kill him, and Caesar's Legion, you kill him. So they're either going to have, they're going to have that, and then if they wanted to show, because they wanted to show a post-apocalypse for the New California Republic, and because they had that in the show, then, where was I going with that?
you're going on, like, and the only way for House to still be around is if for that ending to work.
So I think if they want to emphasize the NCR basically blowing up, then if they just go the canon House ending, then the idea of the NCR expanding more would have been kind of diminished, right? So if House has New Vegas, mm-hmm. and kicks out the NCR, kicks out Caesar, Caesar's Legion, all that stuff, then you just have House. So that would mean that the Mojave expansion, the NCR was held back. Or if they wanted to go that route where they have Mr. House, maybe NCR did a surge prior to the nuke in Shady Sands, then maybe that's why it fell, a war between the NCR and Caesar's Legion, because they didn't really, they said he kicked them out, and I can't remember if that one you have to assassinate the president, or is that I can't remember if that was a side quest specifically for Caesar's Legion, but maybe after Battle Hoover Dam he takes over, there's a surge back, and then they surge back, or they go back to the Mojave in greater numbers, potentially, if they want
to
make it seem like NCR was really making a go of bringing civilization to the wasteland outside of the borders of what, mid California.
I suppose
I think they'll probably do that.
Right. Yeah. You kind of brought up some interesting points, because you've got a decade plus of time between the two events, in which case, if the NCR got pushed back out of the New Vegas area, there was still plenty of time for them to mount a retaliation. If they had won against the Legion, but you didn't have a canonized ending with House, then there was still time for them to be in conflict with House. Like, it seems like that there's enough wiggle room there in the middle of all of this for you to kind of, from like kind of a meta writer's standpoint, to kind of come up with some sort of justification for conflict that could have happened regardless of the ending, because unless, like, we haven't seen House still alive, like, that is not a scene that we got, right? And that would be, or seen like, you know, Kaiser still alive, or the president of the NCR still alive. Like, we haven't seen any definitive anything that says that this ending has to be what happened, that couldn't get filled in with some sort of other details that happened in the interim.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, they could, if they wanted to do the House, but they wanted to not diminish the NCR, maybe the treaty made with the House or NCR, so that potentially that relationship maybe sours, or maybe their relationship is more amenable. And so what happens to NCR happens to New Vegas when NCR essentially implodes. It really depends on if they want to use House or not.
Right, right. My gut says a few things, and let me know, and feel free to chime in on this one too. My gut says the NCR isn't gone. Shady Sands is gone. The Capitol was blown up, but the NCR by that point had spread to multiple other locations across the West, that they would have continued to go on. The idealism of their, or at least the ideas, I guess you could say, of of what they stood for and all of that among different groups that were fairly well spread out would have survived. So I think the NCR still exists. And I think there is a way you could argue that they could still exist in the New Vegas area. I think it would be interesting if House is still around, but I don't think that that's a necessary component of season two. What is necessary is that he was there and would have left technology, things of value, information, maybe somebody else who took control afterwards. You know, you have all the different casinos and the different groups that were kind of underneath him. Maybe one of them rose to power. I think maybe something like that could have happened. I like, the more we talk about this, and this is why sometimes why these episodes are so fun, is that it allows me as well as you guys to kind of go through the steps and go, well, all of these things could still be. You could still have all of these groups in some way, even if you don't have the figurehead of the group anymore. And that doesn't mean that that figurehead couldn't be in recordings or still play a role in some interesting way. Yeah. And also, welcome to Void. Void, welcome. You just popped in as well. Nova, I saw you unmute there for a second. Did you want to chime in about that stuff?
Yeah. My friend and I were talking about this, and we came to the conclusion that the NCR probably does exist farther east and north because, mm-hmm. They were conquering or at least exploring all the way down to like Cabos and Lucas and Baja California. That's the very tip of the peninsula of California. And then probably like northwards way into past San Francisco and even farther beyond that. And so definitely they still do exist. They just haven't reclaimed the area yet, or they just decided it's not even worth it because everything has gone so far downhill there that it's not even worth expending the resources.
I feel like
the canon ending for New Vegas is going to be the NCR ending. And Hank is not after House himself, but after his technology and all of his equipment. That's why I really do feel like, and he is just, you know.
Oh, he kind of disappeared. Are you still there? Your voice disappeared. We'll give Nova a second to jump back in. I don't know if maybe he's having connection issues, but I think you have a point there. In fact, if anybody knows things about House, go ahead, Nova.
Yes, sorry, my internet is kind of being wonky tonight.
That's all right. But you were saying that he's headed that direction probably for something that House had, right? And if anybody knows what House was capable of, it might have been the people who were working with him before the bombs dropped.
Yeah, and whether that be technology just to simply communicate with the Enclave that we saw at the beginning of episode two, because where else, like, what better communications array would be available than an untouched city with the most enigmatic character alive who basically could turn off nukes with the press of a button. He still probably has access to satellite or any satellite arrays that are still floating in outer space. And so he's able to contact any of the Enclave associates that are left in the wait in the American wasteland or beyond. And so that's kind of what I was leaning towards and thought, and that we would be able to see NCR kind of in its, like, a slight decline, because I really don't think they're going to destroy the NCR. They're too big of a, they're too huge of a fan favorite to just basically.
Oh, Nova disappeared again. Yeah, but I get what you're saying. They're too big of a fan favorite to just kind of get rid of. But I also think that there's an element there of they represent an idea. And even if you kill, say, the capital of the group, it doesn't mean the ideal goes away. There are still people out there who are going to believe in that and will rally around it, even if they are diminished.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you've got some good points there. What do you think House has that would be appealing to go after, even if he's not around anymore?
Like I said, communications.
Just communication stuff.
There's a simple fact of being able, because Hank is, as far as we can tell, was part of the Enclave, because you know Voltec was a part of the Enclave, and so he's. I have a feeling that the Enclave base that we saw in episode two is going to make a return. And
do you think maybe it's in that area somewhere?
No, I think that base is like probably like the Cascades or the Rocky Mountains, because it's completely green and lush. And I know the Sierra Madre the Sierra Madre mountain range can be like that, but I think I want to say it's probably further away than, because
Do you think it's in that direction, though? Like, if you're saying the Rockies, maybe you have to go through Vegas to get there. I don't know if you disconnected again. Nova's having some connection problems. But that's an interesting idea that, like, it could be that far away. Although, if it was that far away, then how did Wilzig get to the L.A. area? So, well, I guess we don't know how long he traveled for, but I'm assuming it would have been a long trip.
Yeah, I assume so as well, because think of it, like, the bounty was spread to, like, I don't know where that scene where we first saw the ghoul took place, but it definitely was not in California, because they said, "You're from California, right?" That kind of implies they're not in California. And so yeah. I was kind of thinking that was the Rocky Mountain area, or maybe like somewhere in near Texas or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. Probably north of that. So like maybe Montana or whatever.
Yeah. I don't get the impression that he's traveled that far though. Like that's the one sticking point. Like it's a cool idea, but if he's by foot, then the sense I get is that he's just getting to wherever he can quickly to get away from the enclave. And so he just ends up over there on that.
Yeah, but remember the
coast.
Remember the father. What is he on the East Coast? I forget. Who is the?
Oh, I think he disappeared again. Who is the? I'm on pins and needles. I'm just waiting to find out who is. I don't know.
Oh my god!
Now you're back.
Really sorry. Who is the Brotherhood of Steel leader on the East Coast? I forget the current one.
Oh, Maxon.
Yeah, I'm from his first name. Anyway, so that's where they got the information from, was from Boston or DC. I mean, because remember, the Prudwin came all the way there specifically to hunt him.
Right.
Guy. And so that was literally across the entire country to get this one enclave scientist. And so in theory, it could be from basically anywhere in the United States, because we don't know how long he traveled, and he was being passed along by a series of what were essentially like guardsmen that were like, "Here, we're going to this safe house. Now we're going to this safe house. We're going to this safe house because we want you here to do science stuff," and et cetera, for the NCR. Because Moldaver was paying for all that, essentially. And so just caravaning him across the entire United States. So we don't really know, because like it really honestly looked like the ghoul was in Montana maybe or somewhere like that. And then the West Coast Brotherhood gets transmission from the East Coast Brotherhood saying, "Hey, this guy's coming towards you and you need to hunt him right now. And here's dog meat as well, because that's with him."
right. Yeah. I guess you have a point. It's vague enough that we don't really
know. It's a cross-continental manhunt. And right. Everybody's after him for some reason.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. What did the rest of you think? Do you think that that's possible? Do you think that, where do you think that he was situated? Pumpkin?
I don't think the ghoul would have been left in Montana. It definitely felt more of a southern state where he would have been put. If you look at a lot of like the bandits that you see around, it seems more southern.
Yeah, but they're all wearing super heavy winter jackets, which the South is not known for getting cold.
Well, it can get cold enough. Like it can be freezing.
You're also
like,
thinking you don't know how the weather is after a nuclear apocalypse.
Right. I mean, nuclear winter can be a thing.
Right. But
220 years after the bomb fell.
Yeah. But also, I live in Florida. It does get below freezing. Like it doesn't mean that it doesn't ever get cold. Right. And you would definitely need to wear a jacket if it gets that cold. So I don't know. Like I think to your point, it's vague enough that we just don't know. Yeah. And so those things are possibilities.
It very well could be somewhere in the Sierra Nevadas, because they are mountains, and in that valley it does get quite cold.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, but I was also fairly certain that because they talk about California as this far off a land, because it's like, "You're from there, right?" If they're like in Arizona or Nevada or New Mexico, it's gonna be, "Hey, you're pretty close by." Definitely have heard of California, but
yeah, maybe.
They talk about it as if like you're from there, right?
Yeah, if I'm in Florida and if somebody I knew was from Georgia, I'd say, "Oh, so you're from Georgia, right?" Like,
yeah,
and it just using those words wouldn't define how close or far away that is.
I don't know.
It's just
maybe reading too far into it, but to me, it kind of sounded like it was a fair distance away. And then, like I said, the bounty coming all the way from the East Coast kind of emphasized that point, that it was a cross-continental manhunt.
Yeah, I get you. I get you. Yeah, I mean, those are solid points, and they might very well stand up. So, yeah, possible. Like, and I think that's where we're at with a lot of this stuff, is that, like, there are these, like, hints and seeds of things, and which things play out in which way, we don't know yet, which is kind of why it's fun to speculate, right? So, all right, so let's get back to New Vegas specifically. We've got Hank heading over that way. We have what appears to be, do you think the city itself is destroyed, or do you think that we're just seeing little glimpses of something that happened after a breach, which can maybe allude to a decline in House's power, or maybe there was a conflict and no one group owns the city and is actually keeping it safe anymore? Like, do you think that there's anything like that going on? And I'd love to hear from some of you who haven't had a chance to chime in yet, because I want to make sure everyone gets a chance to talk. Do you guys have thoughts on that? I don't know, Lil Green or Spartan? Lil?
I'll go. I don't think they're going to get rid of Vegas completely.
Think it's destroyed, or
I think maybe like the latter thing you said, like
there was a breach,
just some sort of uprising, and like things are a mess. So okay. Like the Lucky 38 still is there, like and House is still like a prevalent figure, but he's just trying to figure out how to gain control again. So I think that might be a key thing.
All right.
So but yeah, I feel like it would be nice to see the Kings show up.
Yes.
That is like just the one faction that everybody seems to like. So,
right.
And would freak out everybody else. It's like, what's with the Elvis impersonators?
Yeah, like the non-gamers in the audience would be like, are you kidding me? There's a gang full of Elvis impersonators? What is going on?
Yeah. But I feel like They're gonna, like, House is gonna be a part of season two. How much of it, I don't know.
You think he's alive? Let's say.
I want to say he's alive.
Okay, you think he's still alive?
And how well he's alive? That's the question.
Ah.
So I feel like there was some sort of uprising and he got damaged, so he can't do as much as he wants. Like, I know if depending on what ending they go. If I'm wrong, please correct me. Like all the Protectrons that they have there, he lost control of them somehow.
Okay. So you think there's something like that going on. Another perspective would be, like, as you're playing through the game, there's this common, like, it feels like there's rumors about him. Like, some people are like, oh, he's still alive. And other people are like, no, he's not. Like it seems like one of those things that you don't really know for sure until you actually get to see the guy. Because I remember on my first playthrough, even seeing his face on the monitor, I was like, is this a person that's still alive? Or is this like recordings of him? Or is it an AI pretending to be him? Like, I had this feeling of like not really being sure about that. Do you think that might play into it?
I don't see why not. It's just, I think it's hard to really gauge what direction they want to go to not, like, canonize things and make people upset and lose a lot of, like, the viewership. But, like, whatever they do, it's going to be so loosely done and plausible.
Yeah.
That's my biggest feeling with it. Like, the only thing we might not see a lot of is the Legion, just because I don't think Amazon Prime, or just Amazon, is going to do that extreme of a faction.
I mean, so they've already done some dark stuff. Like, there's some dark stuff in season one already.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that. But how extreme can they be?
Like, I guess. Okay, so let's look at it this way. How much further extreme would it be if the Legion shows up? You've got crucifixions. You've got slavery. It's really not that much further than they've already
gone.
It's
really not that much further. You're right.
Like, we'll just say,
you're right. That's Amazon, extreme stuff. But yeah, go ahead, Spider.
Amazon also has like The Boys and stuff, which goes way further than the Fallout show went. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they took it further, is all I'm saying.
I think, they're going to take it further now that you say that.
Yeah, that might
because,
be a thing.
But because like when you say it's like, oh, it's crucifixions, that's not that bad. The slavery, it's a fictional universe. It's, and like it's not like concentrating on like a certain race or a certain group of people for the most part. It's just everybody's subject to it.
Right. And there's plenty of shows out there that deal with slavery or deal with torture. Mm-hmm. You know, crucifixion is a form of torture.
Yeah, no. Sure. So even if the Legion was there, it's probably like they were like, I wouldn't say defeated, but maybe just like pushed back, and they're not as like prevalent in the region as they were in the game. Because also, like, what's the time difference between like the game and the show?
Yeah, it's 14 years or something. It's a little bit.
It's
over
really
a
not
decade.
That big, actually.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact number, but yeah, it's enough time for things to have changed significantly, but it's not enough time for you to expect that like characters that were alive and were middle aged would be gone, right? Like, no, they're probably still around. So unless something tragic happened, right? Unless the events in the interceding years, something happens. And I think that's the key from a writer's perspective to not pick a defined ending is to be able to justify anything you want in those interceding years without actually declaring it. Like if we follow the characters to New Vegas and we find out House is dead, they could be very vague about how he died. And that doesn't necessarily mean a specific ending happened. If Kaiser is no longer in charge of the Legion, there could be lots of reasons why that is, as long as they don't tell us exactly what happened, right? The courier took him out or whatever. Whoever's in charge of Hoover Dam, what if the Hoover Dam is just destroyed? Well, maybe one of the groups came in charge of Hoover Dam, but somehow it blew up in those, you know, decade plus years in between, and they just don't define it for us. They just keep that stuff vague. The characters never find out, and now they don't have to choose a canon ending.
You're right. So, but I do think it'd be nice just to get like a drop of like, oh, like just the mention of the courier somehow.
Oh yeah,
that'd just be nice.
What? So this is a wonderful. I love that this has been brought up because I want to talk about the courier too. Do you think he's going to become like a legendary character of some sort, Pumpkin?
I would kill for that.
Like there are stories of the courier.
So like you hear story, like they're hearing like the background where they're like, oh, you hear about what the courier did, da da da, or like you see in the background, it's like the graffiti that Ulysses leaves, and it's the what are you, courier 6 or something like that.
You know, what'd be even cooler is if a number of different people that they meet talk about the courier, and some of the things they say are things that actually happened in the games and are actually very reasonable, and but then so many of the things they say are just like tall tales. It's like Paul Bunyan or whatever. Oh yeah, the courier was 12 feet tall and like all of this kind of stuff, and people are like, what? Or at least we're like, what? No, I wasn't. I played that character. That would be amazing.
The courier single-handedly got across the Deathclaw encampments.
Yeah, the courier was the one man who made it across the northern section up to New Vegas. Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to go there. There's a bunch of Deathclaws. Only one person ever made it through there.
Right. He was the courier. We don't even remember his name. He's just known as the courier.
Well, yeah, he had amnesia from a 9mm bullet straight to his noggin.
Right, yeah.
Can't remember anything.
Yeah.
That's literally war.
Yeah, but that turns into not did he survive, but he was resurrected. He came back from the dead, right?
He's like the Messiah.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to be hearing, like, if this does go, you know, New Vegas, where we're pretty sure it's going, we're definitely going to be hearing stories about, like, the legendary Courier 6, how he survived a bullet to the head, like, how he dealt with the death clause in Sloan, or how he helped save New Vegas.
he got the glowing ones to space or whatever.
Seeing the bright followers would be a really cool thing too.
Yeah, that would be amazing. All right, well, tell you what, let's take a quick break. I gotta thank you guys and the rest of our patrons, but then I want to know some specifics around these factions that we've been talking about, these individuals and some other factions and individuals, and what you all think are the likelihood that we're going to see each of them. So don't go anywhere.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where I get to thank our patrons, everybody that's joining me here, and our new patrons, Last Paragon and Josh L. Welcome to the Patreon. So glad that you signed up. I hope you're enjoying all the things that you can get, like ad-free episodes and t-shirts and stickers and joining us on Patreon chats and all sorts of fun stuff. Head over to patreon.com/falloutlorecast to go check out everything and see if I've helped you get through your workday or your workout or your commute, if you'd like to toss a little bit back this way in order to get some really cool stuff. Go check it out. Also, we have to thank Germinator, our sentry bot, who gets a shout out every week because he's currently our only sentry bot. But if you sign up at that level, you get shout outs every week. Thanks, Germinator. He couldn't be here today, had some medical stuff he had to go do. Maybe we'll pop in toward the end of the episode. We'll find out. And then also, I've got some reviews. I've got so many reviews that have come in the last month. I have to at least cover a few of these. We have Turkey Tap in Denmark who writes, absolutely amazing. I never used to be into podcasts, but since starting a new job as a student, I've been listening while working, and it's surprisingly entertaining. It's my first time really diving into podcasts, and I can't recommend this enough. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Turkey. And then this one from Fallen Tree 40 in the US, who writes, never disappoints. I've been listening to this podcast for the past couple of years now. Every time I come back to the latest episodes, it never disappoints, and I always learn something new about the games. Thanks, Fallen Tree. If you'd like to help out, then leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll read it out on a future episode of the show. And you can also rate the show on Spotify or whatever other platform you listen to this on, or you can tell your friends. All of that is extremely helpful. All right, let's move on with the rest of this conversation and find out what everybody thinks about different individuals and factions. Here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, so we've talked about House, we've talked about the Legion, we've talked about NCR, we've talked about Courier 6. We haven't talked about the Followers of the Apocalypse. Do you think we'll get the Followers of the Apocalypse? Because the show has been so gray. Vault-Tec is bad. The Brotherhood seems like they've got nefarious things going on. The Enclave, of course, has nefarious things going on. Everybody we've come across in the show seems to have... There's no white hat, right? The Ghoul has some dark stuff going on. The Followers of the Apocalypse are about as close as we can get to the good guys, especially in New Vegas. Do you think that's going to play into it? Do you think we'll actually get them on the show? Who has thoughts on this? It's kind of a tricky thing, I think. What do you think, Pumpkin?
So I definitely can see them like showing up. I don't see them playing the biggest role.
Mm-hmm. But like a side thing, how, like they come across them at some point,
like how like they would come across them, or like in the beginning how the dad would come in and probably get medical treatment from them and at the fort and all that,
right? Or the Ghoul and Lucy are traveling and they end up in a rough situation, and then they wake up and they're being tended to by the Followers of the Apocalypse, who are like, oh, we're here to help you out, and they're like, what? And they're like, no, we're actually here to help people out. That's what we do.
Just an older Arcade Ganon just comes to help.
Right. Oh man, do you think Arcade Ganon's gonna show up? That's another interesting one.
I would love to see if any of the companions show up.
Yeah, I guess you could go down the whole companion list too, right? Let's open it up. I want to hear from who thinks we're going to see any companions, and if so, which ones? Pumpkin wants to keep talking. Go ahead.
I feel if we're definitely going to be hearing anything about Courier 6,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be coming from Raoul.
Okay. Why?
Because he's such a storyteller. He's always talking. I would love to see, especially if they brought Danny Trejo back to play him.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, they could do that. That would be amazing.
If there's any character, it would be, in my opinion, it would be Raoul talking about it.
Well, with the popularity of the show, they absolutely could get more of these like well-known actors to show up for just, especially these little side roles. You know, like Danny Trejo could absolutely show up and people would be like, oh my God, that's amazing. That's a good point. All right.
You know, I would really like to see them dredge up, get Michael Dorn to voice Marcus. He's not a companion in New Vegas, but he's a companion in Fallout 2, and he appears in the New Vegas game.
Yeah, did he do the voice originally? I'm not familiar. Yeah,
Michael Dorn Worf from Star Trek.
Right. I didn't know if he did the voice or not originally. Yep. But that's cool. That would be a cool reference.
And,
yeah,
and I would like them to start bringing back some intelligent super mutants again, because I've been quite devoid of that for quite a while.
Right. Do you think they will be big and blue and turn invisible?
Oh, like if they brought back the Nightkin, that'd be cool too.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that if they're heading to that area, that could be a thing, right? But I mean, they haven't even shown green super mutants yet. Do you think that they would make the jump from like here? Like they barely showed like the hand of what appeared to be a super mutant on like a gurney. Do you think that they'll introduce super mutants and then take it up a notch and be like, oh yeah, there's also blue ones that turn invisible? What do you think?
I mean, they kind of have to. They would have to have something there, because super mutants have been in the franchise for 27 years. So
right. I think most of us are in agreement that we'll probably see super mutants in season 2.
Super mutants, yes. Nightkin. That might be just a little too much for like the show at once.
Right, because it's a different kind of super mutant on top of super mutants, which really weren't introduced to the regular audience. Plus the ability to turn invisible. Plus, they're freaking insane. there's multiple layers to what's going on with the Nightkin.
Like if all right, I know I Tom knows this. I'm still 2 episodes left. I don't know if they've even like introduced like a stealth boy, but like introducing,
this isn't a thing that we
like,
see in season 1.
You'd have to introduce so many things to do the Nightkin. So it's just like, oh, there's supermutants. Oh, there's different types of them. Oh, people who become invisible. Oh, and like this one group of supermutants found a whole crap load of these devices and became addicted to them. That's like half a season on its own.
Right. Do you think if they were to introduce the Nightkin, it would have to be in some sort of like vague reference sort of way, not as like a main plot point? More of like
a reference,
More of like a character mentions like, oh yeah, don't trust a blue one, especially when they turn invisible, and somebody else is like, what? Wait, what? And then like it just moves on.
Or they just mentions like, oh, don't go to like where the Nightkin are in like the New Vegas game. It's just like, don't go over there. Weird things happen, and it looks like people are watching you and you can't see them.
Right, I hear voices. There's ghosts over there. Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll probably like reference it that way. Just be like, okay, we're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
they could just rip out the stealth boy Nightkin, turn into invisible, and go for just super mutants that are nuts.
Yeah, I think we'll get super mutants, and we'll get the fact that super mutants have gone through like that they used to be human and they're now no longer, and they're a lot dumber and crazy because of it. I think
I would want to have Marcus because he's an intelligent one. Larry from Broken Hills, Tony J, I think he voiced the lieutenant in the first game. Lieutenant was quite scary. I think his name's Tony J.
Yeah. So you think we'll both get super mutants and at least an intelligent one somewhere in the story?
I hope get intelligent.
You hope.
Back.
what do you think the chances are? Like, if you were to put odds on it.
I haven't seen them since New Vegas. So 4 didn't have them. 76 doesn't have them. I don't know if they're going to go that route.
I mean, 4 had, I guess you can't say Strong was intelligent, but at least he wasn't terrible, right? Like, he wasn't as aggressive. You could use him as a companion. 4 also has the scientist guy. What was his name?
Oh, yeah. The scientist from the Institute.
The Institute.
Virgil.
Yeah, Virgil, who technically is an intelligent super mutant, right? So, I mean... I feel like it's a toss-up. I feel like that maybe there's a 50-50 chance you get an intelligent super mutant somewhere in the season. What do you think, Pumpkin?
I fully believe that we would be able to. I think it's New Vegas. There's 2 areas that were, you know, majority super mutant. But I can fully believe that we would see probably Marcus, if anybody. I would, at least I would love to hope.
How great would that be to see that on the TV screen? Like, and who would you have cast for the role? Like, it would have to be, like, I bet if they're doing Super Mutants, it's probably, I mean, I guess this is another thing you could debate. Like, they didn't CG the power armor. I'm sure there was some CG touch-ups and stuff to some of the scenes. But for the most part, that's a full suit people wore. I don't think we're going to see people walking around in gigantic Super Mutant suits because they look like Muppets, right? Like, so how would you do full CG? Or would you go like really big buffed out actors who
Dave Bautista?
Yeah, like
The Rock.
Yeah, you get people the size of well, you don't choose maybe you don't choose them specifically, but you get people the size of The Rock.
Yeah.
And
but I feel like if you got like I feel like someone like Bautista would do it well just because of also his voice is low enough and he can get gravelly. So I feel like he would be like at least like using like do like mocap with him and then like extrapolate like a Supermutant over him,
so right? Or put him in something like some sort of prosthetics that actually make his arms more bulky, and then you maybe scale him up a little bit using CGI, but not being fully CGI, right? Like you still have like the human element underneath that, something like that, maybe. I mean, effects are getting very, very good, and the show has done so well. It is now the best show that Amazon has ever put out. So I would assume that they're going to have funding to do whatever they need to do in order to make that stuff work. The question is just like, how does that happen? And will
and also, Pumpkin, you go first.
I can see them it being a mix, like how they do with the Hulk is how they have him wearing this weird, massive bodysuit with the head up here.
That's true. I mean, the Hulk works. Like, I don't have a problem with the Hulk in movies or the TV show. Like, he looks good enough.
So yeah, it worked for
So maybe you get. I guess the other question
Like,
then.
Let me spray paint myself green.
Right. I guess the other dilemma is if you've got a bunch of super mutants, how much of the regular the normie audience is going to go? Oh, so there's a bunch of Hulks walking around. Like, what's the deal with that? Right. Like, is that too close to the Hulk that people would be like, no, now they're just copying Marvel, even though they're not.
I feel like it would be explained to a point to be like, oh, like, just be like that. Like, they're going to be with someone who knows what a super mutant is. And then they come upon like an encampment of it. And it's just like, oh, we need to leave. And then like that just becomes like a part of like that like a main episode. It's like, oh, here's an introduction to like one of the more like scarier things in the wasteland, other than like a Deathclaw or something like that.
Right.
I mean, they've been integral to the Fallout series since.
Yeah. So like I do agree. We need to see super mutants. Deathclaws. I think it's confirmed that we will see them.
Well, we see a skull. We see a skull in the desert. We see what appears to be a dead Deathclaw in like the animated sequence at the end of the final episode in New Vegas. So if they don't have Deathclaws in the season two, I think a lot of people are going to be confused and upset. They're going to be like, wait a minute, you hinted at it. This is a key thing. And on top of that, the Deathclaws in New Vegas are freaking terrifying. Like they are like way worse. Like in Fallout 4, you get power armor suit in the beginning and a minigun and you get to blow up a Deathclaw right in the middle of the city. But in New Vegas, they're like, oh, don't go up. Don't go north. Don't go up that way. They'll tear your face off, you know, like, and then you try it. And that's exactly what happens the first time you try to navigate through the northern part of the game right from the beginning. Right. So I think we're definitely going to get Deathclaws. Do you think we will get multiple? What kind of role do you think they'll play? Is it going to be like a random encounter in the wasteland somewhere? Or is there going to be some major plot point involved with Deathclaws?
I want to say we're going to see at least two Deathclaws. You're going to see your regular one, and we're going to have one that's talking.
We're going to have a talking Deathclaw. Is it going to be furry? We're going to have a furry talking Deathclaw?
Because the only reason why I'm saying that is because we're still dealing with the Enclave, and if like they still have a foothold in the area,
that's true.
Why not?
Right. I mean, they're the ones who sent the Deathclaws, the intelligent ones, into the vault. So
yeah. So if like we're like the Enclave is still going to be an overarching like enemy faction, or like just not even enemy, just like a faction, like they were the ones that gave us the talking death claws, the intelligent death claws. So, like, why not have them be a part of the threat?
What if what if New Vegas falls and the reason we see a Deathclaw body is because the Enclave weaponized Deathclaws in order to take out House?
That
didn't they do that in 3? They had the weaponized Deathclaws that would deploy when the Enclave started doing the surge in Fallout 3. I mean,
it kind of makes sense, right? Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, it does.
It feels like an Enclave thing to do. Like, oh, House feels like he's all safe in here with all his technology and his robots and all of that. Well, let's see what he does about a bunch of death claws that invade and attack the city. I don't know. Spartan, what do you think? What do you think about this one?
I wonder if, like, the talking death claws are kind of like the Night Kent, where it might be, like, too much to make the jump to, like, here are regular death claws, here are also talking death claws. But I also think, like Lil Green was saying, like, it makes sense because of the involvement of the Enclave.
Yeah.
So, well, like, I could see that either way.
Well, if they're not talking, yeah, you could still have the Enclave weaponize Deathclaws without them being intelligent.
For sure. Yeah, that's definitely true. And I think that's I like that theory. I don't know. I definitely think there's going to be at least one Deathclaw, maybe that appears multiple times. Like, maybe their first encounter, like Lucy or whoever encounters it, is very overwhelmed. And so it's like a recurring threat where they kind of have to learn how to deal with this creature,
like, because it's hunting, like, them as they travel.
Yeah, or like they come across it and they, like, escape, but they don't kill it, and yeah, then, like, they come, like, it comes back again, because that kind of not with the same people, but that they kind of did that a little bit with the Gulper, where we're like, it had the encounter with Lucy and the ghoul, and then, like, they didn't actually kill the Gulper, and then Maximus and Thaddeus also encountered the Gulper and got the head. So it's like, I could see something like that, where, like, the first time we see the Deathclaw, whatever situation goes down, like, the Deathclaw survives and becomes, like, a returning threat, mm-hmm, maybe later in the season.
I like that idea also because it shows that the ghoul is not, like, undefeatable. You know, like, the ghoul's a freaking badass. He knows where the weak points are in the power armor, whatever. But he had a real tough time dealing with the Gulper. And I would imagine that he would have a very difficult time dealing with the Deathclaw as well, which allows us to go, like, he doesn't seem like he's, you know, this, I don't know, badass who just nobody can ever defeat. He seems like he's got vulnerabilities, even though he knows what he's doing in the wasteland. The Deathclaw is probably too much.
I think that would be, like, a really good way to kind of introduce how, like, serious of a threat Deathclaws are to, like, the new fans too, because it's like, like you said, like, the ghoul, like, has had multiple examples where he's incredibly capable and is, like, able to handle all these challenges. And it's like, if they encountered a Deathclaw and he was immediately just like, oh no, like, we need to get the hell out of here, like, that would kind of tell people, like, oh man, like, this guy that we have had built up as, like, this incredible killer and, like, incredibly proficient fighter is terrified of this thing.
Right. He knows when, like, to run. He knows when to gun, but he also knows when to run. Yeah, yeah. Void, what do you think? What do you think we're going to see Deathclaws? I mean, I feel like we have to, but in what way? How do you think they're going to come about?
Sorry, I have never played New Vegas, so I have zero clue of what I'm talking about when it comes to this. Well, I'm also Deathclaws, very sleep deprived.
Yeah, no problem. Deathclaws, it doesn't have to be New Vegas specific. Just so you know, the Deathclaws in New Vegas were much more difficult to deal with than in, say, Fallout 4.
Right.
They're there.
Stuck in, like,
there's a lot of them.
Power plant or rocket facility. So I haven't played the game for, like, 6 months. I think it'll be more like how Fallout 4 introduced that Deathclaw at the very beginning of the game. Like, mm-hmm, I think it'll be early in the season. It'll be relatively easy to defeat, but they'll have extra support. Like,
there'll be a justification for how they were able to defeat it because they happen to have access to something that gave them the upper edge, that kind of thing.
Right. Or, like, a brotherhood I'm going to call it a helicopter because I can't think of it.
The vertibird? Like a vertibird? Like, they gun it down from a vertibird?
Yeah, like a Brotherhood vertibird just so happened to be flying above and they see Maximus, who is traveling with Lucy, And
well, I think and Lucy leaves with the ghoul, and Maximus and Lucy doesn't know where Lucy is. So do you think they get reunited and then a Deathclaw attack happens? Like something like that, maybe?
Something like that, maybe. Or like Maximus is on his own and puts out a distress call or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Either way, I think it's going to be a singular Deathclaw at the beginning of this season. And then that being so easy is foreshadowing something later in the season, perhaps, where it's like an alpha or a chameleon.
Or like the matriarch Deathclaw, like the big mom one. That's like that one was the baby and everyone's like
much, much harder. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I could see that, too. I could also see a situation where like the vertebrate shows up and it's smart enough to run away and like it. The vertebrate saves them, but the thing gets away and we know it's still out there somewhere. And I like the idea of it, like maybe it's tracking and hunting them as they travel, you know, like it's smart enough of a predator to know when to pounce and when not to, you know, like I would imagine that like they're going to make it formidable in a way where it's not just big and scary. It's like any smart predator knows when to pounce. And I think that that'll create tension. Like that would be a really fun mechanic to add to that.
Okay. I was like, I liked Spartan's idea of it being the same Deathclaw that you see every so often in the show.
Yeah.
And
like it has a scar on one of its eyes. So we know it's the same one.
Like, yeah. They call it like this Deathclaw's got a name.
Right. It's Scar. Like, Scar's back.
Like Scar, or like even make it funny. Like, oh, that's Tiny.
Right.
Like, man, but you see, it's the same Deathclaw. You first see it in the beginning, and they're the ghoul pulls Lucy behind a rock, and they're like trying. They're like, just shush, shut up, don't say a word. And you hear the thump,
yeah, thump. The Jurassic Park moment.
The first scene is you literally just see like the legs walking past the rock behind it.
Right. And the size of the claws in reference to like the boulder that they're
like moving next to it.
Right.
And then like the next scene is they're in like just a random building, and then they just hear the growling of the Deathclaw going past the building. And then finally, like the final climax is that they're already in a fight, and then all of a sudden the Deathclaw comes rolling in.
Right.
And they're like, great, now we've got these guys and a Deathclaw.
Right, right. There's some sort of big climax where it's like the remnants of the Legion and the NCR and the Brotherhood. It's like the Battle of Five Armies, right? And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, okay, there's a Deathclaw. There's super mutants, and then a Deathclaw also shows up. Dear God. What do you do then?
I could also see like the ghoul would know well to leave well enough alone and is avoidant, but we've already seen the Brotherhood Knight being arrogant and goes into a Yagwai den and gets
mauled. Yeah.
So I it would be kind of cool if it was a hazard specifically for the Brotherhood to, you know, kick them while they're down or kick them on a high, where the Deathclaw. It just kind of depends on what they're going to do with the Brotherhood of Steel and whether or not they're even going to follow Lucy and the ghoul. I mean, they didn't really leave much to say that they're going to, because
other than Maximus. Yeah. Maximus has like a personal connection to her now. And I think that's going to drive that in some way.
Yeah. I see him kind of doing what the cleric asked him to do, which was, basically, all right, well, let's make a go of this civilization and grab power. Maybe Maximus will push them towards New Vegas.
Right.
And then in their efforts, they get a couple of Deathclaws starts cutting them apart in the darkness. Like, like the little thing where a bunch of people are walking and some of them disappear. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. So I could totally see the through line there. Maximus is now a very important person for the Brotherhood. They're trying to track down what's his face, the guy that escapes. We've said his name multiple times, but it falls out of my head.
Hank,
Lucy's father. They also know that he's headed towards New Vegas, And New Vegas would be the next place to go in order to consolidate power and take over whatever's left of the city. So Maximus justifies that as the next thing to do, because he also believes that that might be able to reunite him with Lucy. And now that he's important with the Brotherhood, he can give her a safe place to stay, which is the flip side of what happens in season one, where she's like, oh, you should stay in the vault. I'll give you a safe place to stay. Right. So you like it feels like there are story threads that all can kind of come together there. And now once you're in New Vegas, you're introducing super mutants and Deathclaws and maybe the Legion or whoever else is dangerous. And then there's, you know, all the wackiness that we described could be potential ways that some of that stuff plays out. I think we solved all the things, which is good.
No, we're still missing one.
Yeah.
What happens to Lucy's brother?
So Norm, right? That was his name?
Yeah, Norm.
Norm, yeah. Norm figures more out about what's actually going on with the Enclave and mounts a rebellion in the vault, which eventually leads all of them to the Enclave. I don't know. We'll have to find. I don't have an answer for that one. Actually,
You have him being a Norm Sickle for the next 100 years.
So, be thinking about that, because maybe him, who knows? Maybe we can continue the conversation next.
And they seem to be pushing that way, that he somehow
ends up
ruining the old phrase, when things look glum, choose 31.
I think he's going to be a thorn in the side of what Vault-Tec is doing, and there will be some sort of, you know, reconnection between him and Lucy at some point.
There definitely will be. I just have a feeling that somehow Norm is going to be pushed out into the vault is going to be pushed out of the vault, and somehow I'm going to join the main trio. So, whether Lucy goes back to why now?
Uh-oh, did we lose Nova again?
Why is it?
Oh, there you are.
Why it's been completely fine with me listening to you guys. Also, when I start talking, it freezes up. I don't understand this whatsoever.
I don't know, man.
Anyways, I just have a feeling that Norm is going to be pushed out of the vault because he somehow finds a way back into 33, and it's like, guys, they're evil over there. It's Vault-Tec. They have all these people frozen and stuff like that. And then he's not going to be able to get back into the vault, or they do some like timey-wimey stuff like that. You know, the same way that they clean up Vault 32 in that like short period of time. They just do something and makes it all just either like disappears, or, you know, say, oh, can't actually get into 31, or, you know, something like that. And they just push Norm out onto the surface, and then he reunites with Lucy. Or he stays and does something important in LA area.
Right. What if he meets was it Thaddeus? The guy that was.
Or Thaddeus. You know what you mean?
He meets Thaddeus.
He's with Thaddeus.
And he and Thaddeus travel together while Thaddeus is slowly turning into a super mutant or whatever.
Yeah. I have a feeling he got infected with FEV. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's not a ghoul. It's something else. But
No. Ghouls never shown that. But FEV is explicitly stated to regenerate you very quickly, to have regenerative properties. And so I have a feeling that he just took a concoction of FEV. But that would be very. I didn't actually think of that. That'd be hilarious.
They become traveling partners.
They just team up because they're lost. They're basically just like lost in the woods and exiled now. And they start talking like, hey, no, Lucy. That's pretty interesting. Let's go find her.
Right.
She's fun.
Yeah, they go to find her, and then he becomes the intelligent super mutant that we get to meet, because he doesn't fully turn until like the end of the season or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They did tease regenerative properties on ghouls, because the ghoul gets shot how many times in the town?
But he also continues, gets punched. That's like 32 or 38 ACP. I mean, seriously.
He also doesn't bleed. I think they're kind of alluding to the fact that like his body's basically dead. Like it's not enough to really kill him, but also.
So he's a zombie is what you're saying.
Right.
He's
zombie. I think they're alluding to this idea that like ghouls are kind of like walking zombies. And I mean, that's kind of true. We also don't see him regenerate anything. We just see him survive the impacts and the bullets. So it's another one of those vague points that I guess you can make an argument.
Here's one thing. Like, he may just been wearing ballistic weave, honestly, because he didn't get shot in the face or like in the legs or anything. He's got shot in the back. And from Fallout 4, we know ballistic weave adds like what is it, a couple hundred ballistic protection. I mean, he could just be incredibly bruised and that's it. But since he's so drugged up all the time, because, you know, when you get shot by Lucy a couple right. of days later, so that right. drop in the bucket of all the drugs I've taken,
right,
then
right.
he's so drugged out of his mind that he doesn't even feel the bruising and the broken ribs and whatever he would have sustained from that.
Maybe but we got to wrap it up. I love the speculation though, because who knows? Maybe it's either of those things. I don't know. We'll have to find out.
He was only shot with low caliber weapons. Like, he was shot with pipe rifles, fire a 38 ACP, and then a PPSH, which fires 7.62 Tokarev. Those are, you know, they would kill somebody, but they're not going to, they're not known to be the most, like, ballistically efficient cartridges. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, I guess we'll have to find out. Well, let's wrap it up. Thank you, everybody. I've got all sorts of new ideas because of this conversation. Everyone's contributed so many fun ideas. And if you're listening at home or at work or in your commute or whatever, and you want to chime in, then jump on the Discord. Let us know your thoughts about this conversation, where you think things might be going. Who knows? Who knows when we actually get a season two, if some of your predictions come true. But let's go back through. Feel free to shout out anything you want to put out into the world about things that you're doing that you want other people to know about. Or just, you know, hey, thanks for being here. Let's start with Pumpkin. We'll go through the list. Pumpkin, you got anything you want to share?
So, of course, you can always find me on my Twitter, the Pumpkin King. You know, the E is a three and the two I's are ones. But I actually have a big announcement this time. Some people have heard that me and a couple others are planning on something. Myself, that basic zombie dude, and Pluto from last month are all planning on starting a zombie apocalypse media podcast. We're going to be called the Zombie Apocalypse Survival Club for movies, games, and media. We're going to be all for it. And
nice.
That's something that I've been wanting to do for forever, and I'm actually got some people to do it with. So I'm super excited.
Yeah, you guys joined the Rocket Club last month, and I've been working with you to kind of throw around some ideas and help you kind of build out what you're planning to do. And you guys are pretty close to getting
we still don't have a release of a first episode date, so we're still kind of anchoring everything down before we get going.
Awesome. Well, definitely join us again next month and remind everybody where to find it, because it'll probably be up by then, I would assume. So awesome. Well, good luck with the show. And that's fun. If you love zombies and zombie stuff, they're going to be covering everything you want to know about zombies. So very cool, Pumpkin. All right, DEFCON. Thank you for DEFCON. I don't know why I put an M at the end of that. Thanks for joining us. Anything you want to share with everyone?
I'll be on the Robots Radio Discord. And if you see me running around Fallout 76, I'm SR Haddon 5978 on Xbox Live.
Cool. Yeah, go say
and
hi.
And if you get the reference of my name, that's from Fallout Tactics.
Oh, wow. I bet most of the people who played 76 have not played Tactics.
Yeah. It's a DEFCON son of T-Minus is the priest of Plutonius. He's a ghoul priest in Kansas City.
That's where I am.
That's Nova is also a ghoul priest in Kansas City, which is a weird coincidence.
Yeah, it's totally unrelated.
Well, thanks, DEFCON. Thanks for joining us. Also, Lil Green, I guess, had to go. Lil Green, thanks for being here. And then Spartan, you've got Elden Ring stuff going crazy with all the updates and the new expansion.
So I am one of the hosts of the Elden Archives, which is the From Software Lorecast from the Rocket Club on the network. And so we do those episodes once a week. People can check those out on any, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the usual suspects there. That's been exciting. Like we were talking about before we started this Fallout show, like we're like 3 weeks away from that DLC. So that should be fun. I just saw while we were talking about the New Vegas speculation here right now, the reviews for like the publisher, like the reviews from like the news, the media outlets and whatnot for the DLC came out, and it's 10 out of 10.
Wow. All 3 weeks early. That's crazy.
From like Game Informer and all the people that reviewed it. But it's 10 out of 10s across the board. So that's amazing. Excited for that. It'll be fun.
Yeah. So go look up his show if you're into Elden Ring and you want to learn more about the lore and all the wackiness around that stuff, because it is some dense. If you think Fallout's dense, Elden Ring is nuts. it's crazy. Thanks, Martin. And then Nova, you got your stuff going on YouTube, right?
Yeah, I do. I have a YouTube and a TikTok. On YouTube, it is, it is capital S U P E R, capital N, zero, capital V, capital A. Look for the golden retriever icon. And then my TikTok is Supernova Gaming. And surprisingly, two of my videos just randomly exploded on TikTok. I have over 1 million views now since the Fallout show was released. So that was unexpected.
Yeah, very cool.
It's got the T65 and the XO1 power armor, and all of it, everything else is kind of like at the mid a couple thousand. So that's kind of weird, but you know, it was enjoyable. I mostly post Fallout stuff on. I mostly just post Fallout stuff. I might do some Halo and Call of Duty stuff as well. By the way, Pumpkin, if you need help with any Call of Duty zombies or Left 4 Dead or Halo Flood, hit me up because I absolutely am infatuated with that kind of stuff. And I know the lore like the back of my hand. So
you were one of the people I was going to talk to.
you're on the list.
Excellent. Excellent.
You're on a zombie list.
I already have a list of people I'm going to be talking to. So, yeah.
Is it your hit list?
It's a zombie hit list.
Anyways, yeah, that's just my YouTube and TikTok. So if you would, you know, if you're interested in hearing other stuff about
Fallout, and then you disappeared again. Perfect timing. Wonderful. Well, thanks, Nova. Go check out Nova's stuff. And then Void, thanks for joining us. I know things are a little bit crazy for you right now, but I'm glad you were able to make it.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, everything's going insane. Oh, sorry, I froze.
You froze. I made a joke about you freezing, and then I moved on to Void. Thanks, Nova. Thanks for being here. Go check out Nova's stuff. So, Void, how's it going? Thanks for being here.
It's work is a bear. But I mean, I have a TikTok that I should be getting back to sometime soon. I'm hoping to rebuild an engine, but I need the money first. That is the Avalanche Welder, no spaces, capital at each beginning of the words. And I'm always on the Discord, V01D696.
Nice. Yeah, go check out everybody's stuff. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And thanks again for the fun discussion. It's always fun to hang out with everybody once a month and talk about all the Fallout craziness. I'll be back next week with a regular episode. And until then, stay safe out there. And if you do have some thoughts about where things are going with Season 2, definitely jump in the Discord and let us know your thoughts, because it's up in the air until we start getting trailers and things again, and then there'll be even more speculation. It's just part of the fun. So thanks for being here, everybody. See you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.